progress daily.
In order to get the opportunity, you must show up.
By any means, whatever it takes.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Antioch Date podcast, where we unlock the secrets to success in business, entrepreneurship, and life with Antioch Date and myself, Lori on Date. How are you doing this week, Andy?
I am amazingly amazing, really getting the ball rolling, helping small businesses grow and scale their company. How are you feeling?
I'm good. Well, we're getting warmer weather out here in Vegas, so I feel like I can actually enjoy the outdoors now. So I'm excited about that. Yeah. So for today's podcast, I definitely want to go into something specific, which are resources, a lot of experience sharing and things like that, because I do think there's a gap as far as business owners and entrepreneurs just maybe not being so aware of just how much they can automate in their business, right? How much they can let software do a lot of the work instead of themselves. But before we get into that, I do want to also highlight the last 10 years of your business journey, because I feel like you've done a lot and it's gone faster than we can keep up on the social media side of it. So how many businesses have you established in the last 10 years?
So I started my cell phone business. That's one business. Then after starting the cell phone business, I did a coaching business. That's number two. Then I started a marketing agency. That's number three. And then number four is our software, our SaaS. So four businesses.
Yes. Okay. Yep. I think that's a good way to put it. Now, because you started before 19, of course, but at 18 to now, you've had those four businesses. Yeah. And as far as the all of them were successful, right? All of them made million plus. All of them have generated revenue. Why go into the fourth business, which is business automations and software, if the other ones were more than successful? Share a little bit about that.
I think you got to be able to move and adapt with the times. If in 1996 I had this is a scenario. I was 2 years old in 1996. But if in 1996
Let's not talk bad about these millennials. 1996. It's not that far ago, but okay.
No, so like if 1996, I was in the cassette tape industry and I making a lot of money in the cassette tape industry, do I stay in that industry because I'm already making money, or do I shift to the CDs at some point? Or if I shift to CDs, do I end up shifting into MP3? I remember I watched that movie, this movie about how Spotify was created and the journey of Spotify. And I remember watching this man who essentially the opponent of the Spotify creator, the person who's creating Spotify, and the man who's against the owner of Spotify, the starter of Spotify, he ran a record label. And I'm watching this video of this guy who's like, there's no money in streaming. Streaming is not good. It's not. It doesn't help the artist. It doesn't help. It's not good. It doesn't help the artist. It doesn't help the record labels. And this guy was a leader of the record label company, and he's like fighting to keep the record label. You know, he's fighting to keep the record label. His business ends up going down. The record label business ends up going down because their money was CD distribution. And then instead of partnering with the company and adapting with change, this guy wanted to keep it on CDs, and everything was about CDs. And the guy with Spotify, who's worth, you know, $5-6 billion today, he obviously innovated. And I think you're constantly going to be innovating. Even if you're a billionaire, you're constantly innovating and getting better and better and better over time. So I'm constantly innovating, and I want to be ahead of the curve. So when I decided to shift, it's because I'm going ahead of the curve and growing and expanding.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. You know, remember back in the day, like I was born 91, but we would go buy actual CDs, right? So that was a big thing. You could go at Target, spend, I don't know, like $20 to $30, buy them. And then you had the CD players. And then Apple came out and pretty much ruined a lot of things for the brick and mortar, the businesses and things like that. So yeah, I appreciate you sharing, because I think a lot of people may have a misconception that people, entrepreneurs, especially anybody that's innately an entrepreneur, many times they're not changing businesses because it's not successful or because they can't, they have shiny object syndrome. I think really business one may teach you something and may reach a certain level. And when you hit that ceiling, you're like, how can I now take the money from this business, go to the next business, and then 5x that one? So you're kind of flipping businesses. I come from real estate. So that's the best way I could put it. It's like business one gets you to a million. Okay, take the profits from that. Go launch business two, and you have a little bit more capital to start and knowledge. Now business two might make you 3 million. And then you go on, go on, go on, right? Because you're going to hit a ceiling.
That could be someone's journey, or they continually, they keep the same business and they continually innovate their current business. So you can still be in the music industry and you're no longer doing cassette tapes. You just moved your product to CDs and you're no longer doing CDs, you move your product to something else. So, I mean, for me, the whole time I've been in, I feel like I've been in the same industry and I feel like it's the same business. I mean, because, and legally it is the same business, because if we look at the journey, like for example, I'm a coach, I'm selling my products today. I'm selling my digital products and I'm speaking to sell that. Then I transitioned to being a marketing agency to help coaches. Right. So I'm helping coaches and speakers sell their products. So instead of me selling my own courses, I transitioned to now help people sell their own courses. So I'm still in the same world. And then now today I transitioned to be the software provider to help the companies sell, you know, work with the coaches. So I'm still in the same world per se. So in the last, you know, the real journey has been cell phones and then this industry. So if I want to really communicate how many industries I've been in, it's really been two. I've been in the cell phone industry. That's one industry on its own. There's no correlation with the industry that I'm in today. And then I transitioned now to the digital product online business world. And, you know, I'm just crushing it in this world.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're right. It's not like you went off to do like a bunch of different industries because there's a learning curve. I think you have been doing building blocks of it to where now you come in as the coach and you're like, hey, I'm sharing my last 10 years of pain points, experiences, resources, all of that. So that's very, very true. Now, when it comes to entrepreneurs, business owners, whether they're a team of one themselves and an assistant or a team of 20, what do you think are the common challenges businesses face when they try to implement automations?
I think the idea of most people don't think of automations in general. They're not thinking of how do I automate certain tasks. And for me, I'm consistently thinking of how do I automate and streamline. I'll give you a quick example. One example that inside of Slack, which is our group messaging chat software for my organization. So we have our teams in there. We have our vendors. We have our partners, affiliates, so on and so forth. And so I'm able to communicate to, I don't know, hundreds of different people. And I can also communicate to my customers inside of Slack. Now, one of the things that I noticed that one of my sales team members were doing is that every time they get a sales appointment, I requested that they update Slack and say, hey, I got a new appointment, right? And then we can have a conversation about that specific appointment if necessary. So every time that an appointment was set, I asked that, hey, I want you to comment or write the appointment. And I started to notice that this person was writing the appointments every day. And I said, there has to be a way to just automate this. Get this one little thing off of her plate. From having to put those appointments manually. So I reached out to our tech team, our tech team leader, and I said, hey, can you figure out a way to automate the every time an appointment set? There has to be a way to automate it and update Slack. And within 30 minutes, he had it all set up. So now every time an appointment is booked, even if it's outside of the person's shift, it just sends a notification inside of Slack that says new appointment. And then now I just shaved off whatever, you know, the 30 seconds that it takes, but those decisions compound, right? Those decisions compound. And I think so many small business owners, they don't think about what can I automate? What can I delegate? What can I streamline? And so forth. So I know one of the things that we have that is happening today is our laundry is on repeat, right? So today, your laundry is outside of the door and and you have someone coming to the house, who's our house, to come pick up our laundry and clean our laundry. And this is just a thing of like, I don't have to think about this. It's just automation. It's people coming in, right? People coming in and handling that. So you can automate a lot of things in your business, but you can automate a lot of things in your personal life as well. So when I look at different things that I'm doing on a consistent basis, my initial question is, how can I not do this anymore, but still get it done? And that's really what the automation is.
Right, right. Yeah, I think for me, even I had that learning curve because especially me being a previous project manager, I used to just work crazy hours, like 70 hours, you know, driving around to properties, then sitting down to do invoices and like all these things. And then when we moved to Vegas, I remember hitting that pain point, even though I left project management. And then we had the digital business, the marketing agency and course creation. There were days probably where I worked, you know, 12, 14 hours, barely had time to kind of eat. And the whole time is because I was doing the admin. Like there was a task in particular I'll share. I would create the 300 Google Drive folders for a course. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine me sitting there clicking, like about to get carpal tunnel? Like, let me click for 300 folders. And then I used to have two admin assistants at the time so that we could, you know, you do 100, I do 100, and you do 100. So this used to take so much time. And I think a lot of our automations, and it was really more, I think, you and our tech team, where I would express it as like, I'm so tired, I'm frustrated, I have all these Google Drive folders. And then you're like, I wonder if we could automate that. And yep. I think for us, that was a game changer. We used to have so much staff. I used to be there sitting down, clicking Google Drive folders, sending reports, sending emails. Like a lot of it was so much manual labor that I do remember at one point I started kind of thinking like, is this even physically possible to get this work done? But the blessing was we started to realize, hold on, there's softwares and things that you can do. So we don't need to keep increasing our payroll. Right. Because then that's a whole other issue. So it definitely has changed our lives. So laundry pickup, car wash, food, a lot of things are on automation for us on the business side, emails, admin tasks, Google Drive, updates on Slack. That's more specific to us. But what's an example where you're really proud of that you took them in and said, hey, I'm going to coach you. I see what you're doing is great, but let's automate. What's one of clients' success examples where this has also transformed their business?
Their sales. I remember we had one incident that to me was eye-opening when I'm like, hey, I'm really sharing something that's of value that not only is it helping me, but it's also helping someone else. Was Nicolina, who's on Progreta, right? And she signed up for Progreta like 2 or 3 years ago, and maybe 3 years ago. And when she came in, she was pregnant at the time. And I remember like just talking to her and meeting with her and coming up with the campaigns and the strategies for her business. And she's like, she has a call, she has this meeting, she has this thing to do, and she's doing it all. And I'm seeing her with this big belly, and I'm like, well, how can I support her? How could I add value to what she's working on? And what I said to her, I said, hey, what I'd like you to do is let's streamline your sales process. Let's look at your sales process and streamline it. And she would do essentially the same sales presentation for every person. She was selling an online course for $6,000. Today, that automation that we built 2.5 years ago is still relevant today and still helping her generate revenue. So she had an online course for $6,000. And what we did is we recorded a video sales letter. And at the time, she wasn't too keen on recording video sales letters. So I gave her a tutorial on how to record a VSL, a video sales letter. And she recorded that video sales letter selling her $6,000 course. We built the automations to follow up with people. So when people go to that webpage, if they don't purchase, the text messages, the emails, the follow-up campaign, it's all built that if they don't purchase, that they come back. And if they don't buy, they can set up a sales appointment with her. So two things were automated. The presentation that she had to do, which usually would take her 30 to 45 minutes to explain the offer, was all automated. So now what the value is instead of people needing to talk to her to understand what the offer is, the value is that she can watch, her customer can watch the sales presentation and then hop on a call with her, and all it is a closing conversation. So the big difference is she started seeing sales happen automatically. And I remember this one podcast that she did with someone on our team, and I watched the recording of that podcast, and she was explaining how that video that was on that webpage selling her program, one of her customers went to it, watched the video, put in their name, email, and phone number, and their credit card information, and purchased a $6,000 program that she would have had to be on the phone to do that, and they did it automatically without her having to be there, and she was with her husband at the time watching the video. That was before her baby was born. Now today, Andre is her son, and he's walking, he's young, he's running around, and so on and so forth, and I felt like I've been watching that journey from a distance, and now that she has more time to spend with her kids, spend with her family, I'm looking at like, oh, wait, my knowledge of digital marketing is not just about making more money, but it's also about the ability to spend time with family, spend time with kids, and so on and so forth. So that's an example of a time that we help someone automate and streamline something, and I'm super proud of that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's where a lot of people, when they, you know, see Progreta, they might bundle it and be like, well, I already have a CRM. Mm-hmm. Progreta is not a CRM, a client relationship management software, right? We're talking sales cycles being set up in a way where you just either show up to close because there's already emails and text messages and reminders and a video sales letter before the client or potential client gets to you. And marketing, you can do a lot of marketing, and there's a lot of cool tools with it. Now, as far as the business automations, do you think this will require someone to be, and does someone need to have a huge knowledge of automations to implement Progreta in their business?
I think just start the journey. I think that's where the opportunity is. Just start the journey. And what I mean by that is it's going to compound your ability, like your ability to determine things that you can automate is going to compound. So you're on this constant journey. So if you can find and identify one thing that you can automate in your life or in your business, then let's automate that. So something that's super simple for a business is the ability to send a text message after a phone call is missed. Most local businesses, they receive a phone call and they don't answer their call, and then it goes to voicemail. And then that voicemail is not heard for a couple of hours, maybe a couple of days. And then that business, that customer who calls that business, they're not just waiting for you to and saying, I hope this business calls me back. I hope this restaurant calls me back. I hope this laundromat calls me back. I hope this chiropractor calls me back. That's not what they're doing. They're going back on Google, and they're going to go search for someone else. So one simple thing that you can automate today with Progreta is the ability to miss call text back. So when someone calls your business and you miss the phone call, our software will automatically text that person back and say, hey, I'm not available right now. Let's book a call. Here's the link to book a call. And you instantly got that off your plate and automated. Then now you just received an appointment booking to go have a conversation with someone at a time that you are available, right? That's one example that you can have that starts the automation journey. And then from there, you can grow and grow and grow of the different automation that you can do. So some of the things that you're hearing me say, like, oh, I automate car wash, I automate sales, I automate marketing campaigns, I automate fulfillment of my online courses. Like if someone purchases my online course, they automatically get, I remember years ago, we used to, we would get a sale for an online course, and I would be like messaging my assistant, and I would say, we got a sale, I need you to send the contract. And then that person might take them a day to send the contract, maybe a couple of hours. And then once that customer gets the contract, then it takes them a couple of days to get the contract back to us. And then on top of that, they then will forget about the contract that we sent to them in the email inbox, and 3 days went by. And then now the customer is like, where's the product that I purchased? And we're like, wait, let me look at the contract. Hey, you need to sign the contract. We're waiting for you. And then the client's like, what the heck? You were waiting for me? Your email was deep down in my inbox. I didn't see that. Man, you know what? Give me a refund. Or you know what? Here's a signed contract. So they send the contract back to us. And then now we got a contract. Now I got to go back to my assistant. I got to say, hey, Fatima, this was years ago. I got to say, hey, Fatima, that was my assistant years ago. Hey, Fatima, give person, you know, this name access to this specific course. And then that person will get access to the course. And then once that person gets access to the course, they're going through it. And let's say that 3 weeks go by and we just have a random thought like, hey, is the person watching the course? Let's go check the analytics. And we go watch the, look at the analytics and we're like, oh, this person hasn't even logged in. So we send them a phone call or a text message and we're like, hey, do you mind letting us know why you haven't watched the course yet? And the person will say, I was super busy. I totally forgot. And that was energy on one person. Today, that same process still takes place today. However, the difference is the journey is automated. So here's how it works today, at least in my world, for the online course. When someone purchases an online course, the next page is the contract that we used to take time hours to send. The person, because they're already on that page, they had to, okay, here's a sign. The next page, they sign the contract right then and there. The next page after that is, hey, your course is ready. Log into the membership area. They click the log in the button. That button brings them right into the membership area. Now they're logged in and now they're watching the course. All of that happens in less than a minute and a half. And that whole entire journey is automated. And then let's say 3 weeks go by, they're not inside of the program. They're not watching the course anymore. Then there's an automation that says, hey, we noticed we haven't logged in. Here's a link. There's exciting content inside for you. And it also notifies our staff through an automation. So what's cool with that is a process that I can only put one person through, and it would take mental energy, it would take bandwidth, it would take time to bring someone through a journey to be fulfilled. Today, now that whole journey is automated. So what that allows me to do is think bigger and say, hey, if I could do it one person and not spend any time whatsoever, any energy whatsoever, then what if I put 10 people through it and no additional time was spent? Okay, what if I put 50 people through it? Okay, dang, let me put 100 people. Now you're over here making more money because your processes are automated. And that's the journey that I feel like most businesses never get to, because they're always in the hunt of doing the activity rather than taking a moment, stepping back, and identify what are some elements that they can automate inside of their sales process, their marketing, or even their fulfillment.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you're right about that. Like when you have one customer and you have to do all the manual steps, or you have to get your assistant to do it, it's just exhausting, right? That's how you end up being burnt out. And business is not so fun when you're just constantly stressed. Did the customer get this? Did the customer get that? Which, you know, that's where Pergreta comes in. It's giving them an opportunity to increase the volume, how many people can go through it. You know that they're taken care of. In regards to, it's not only saving you all those manual steps, making sure people are taken care of, but you kind of touched on it already. How would something like this, like Pergreta, the sales cycle, the marketing, the touch points, what would that translate in the increase of revenue for an entrepreneur and business? If they were to sign up for Pergreta right now, what would you say 3 months down the line? How would this change their revenue, their income, client retention, all of that fun stuff?
So I'll share from personal experience. My income growth has been 10,000% growth. 10,000% growth from where I was 5-6 years ago. 10,000% growth. Because the amount that we sell today, while I'm on this call, I'm seeing, I have a Slack on another screen. While I'm on this call, I'm seeing the updates of new sales, of new products. That process for me to sell back then, I would have to get on a call. So I wouldn't be able to be on this podcast with you if I had to get on a sales call. So I'm seeing all the new sales. Like, I wish I could share my screen. I'm seeing all the Slack updates of new sale, new sale, new sale. And we're seeing that on a daily basis. There's every single day where there's new sales, there's new customers coming in every single day. And that's because it's all automated. Just while I was sleeping, we sold four of our coaching programs while I was sleeping. And I woke up this morning. I went to bed, and then 6 hours later, I wake up and I'm like, oh, four sales. Well, that's because our international customers went through our sales cycle that was automated emails, automated videos, automated text messages, automated journey. And our international customers who were awake while I was sleeping here in the United States went through that journey and purchased. My business has grown 10,000%. Now, is this to say that your business is going to grow 10,000%? It may. It may be even more. It may be even less. The idea is understand that there is upside when you decide to automate certain portions of your sales process. So I know we talked about like automating laundry, automating cars, like that's a lot of the personal stuff. But we can, but if we identify what are some things that help you make money, everything else is a byproduct. Your ability to automate all those other things are a byproduct, right? So like right now, the laundry is outside of the house, but I mean, it costs, right? And I thought you were going to say, how much does it cost to automate? I thought that was going to be your question. And
right.
I'm glad that you're looking at it from a perspective of like, no, what can you get in return? Because someone who is financially challenged is going to say, well, what does it cost to automate? I can't afford a software. You cannot afford a software. If you're looking to make more money, you got to make an investment that allows you to take your time back and allow you to take your time freedom back, because what's typically missing is your time. So you either have more time or you have more money. It's one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be a person who's like, I have more money, but I have less time available. I can't spend 3 hours on the phone talking and gossiping. Like, it's not possible. I can't spend 4 hours doing X, right?
Like a weekend off or anything. Yeah.
I mean, you could take a weekend off, but it's you're not able to throw away time. Even a weekend off is scheduled on a high performance calendar. So you either have more time or more money. So if you have more money, then you want to invest into the things that allow you to take your time back. If you have more time, then what you're going to end up doing is you're going to end up doing the stuff, right? Let me send the text message manually. Let me send the email manually. But here's the thing. Here's the cycle, the rat race here. If you never invest money, then you're never going to take your time back. So you're constantly going to have your time being depleted by activities that don't create revenue, that don't create opportunities for you to grow and expand. So the challenge for someone, for example, who's making less than 100 grand or less than 150 grand or less than 60 grand, whatever the number is, who's on the lower scale of the financial resources that the world has to offer, if you're spending all your time and you never invest money to get things off of your plate, 5 years from now, you're going to be doing the same thing. 6 years from now, you're going to be doing the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. So the biggest challenge that I share or communicate is you got to be able to allocate the financial resources to take it off your plate and start automating some certain activities. So that way your time becomes more valuable, and that's how your money starts to grow. So if this was money and this was time, you have less amount of time. You have less, not a lot of money, but you have more time, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you work a 9-to-5. And so that means you only work 40 hours a week. So you have 128 hours remaining left of the week to sleep, to eat, to spend time. So you have more time. So what happens is that you don't have a lot of money because you're working a 9-to-5, but you have more time than the average entrepreneur. A top performing entrepreneur. What's going to have to happen is that you're going to have to allocate some of those little resources, and your money starts to increase and your time starts to decrease, but you have more money. And that's what you want to be in. You want to be in a stage that you have more money, but less time to operate in bullshit. Now, I'm not talking about less time and to spend with your family, to spend with your kids, so on and so forth. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you have less time to operate with bullshit activities. Like, I'm not calling someone, for example, I choose to not allocate any of my time to call someone and leave them a voicemail. That's not what I do. I reach out to one of my assistants and I say, hey, I need you to schedule a call, or I need you to call someone and schedule a call. And if they don't pick up, you leave the voicemail. You send the text messages. And then if I need to talk to that person urgently, get on the call with them and then transfer the call to me. I'm not spending that 45 seconds leaving a voicemail. I'm not, or the 2 minutes that it takes. Get it off your plate and automate. Get it off your plate and delegate. If you understand those two things, that's how you're going to be able to make more money. And the more money you make, the less time you can spend on bullshit. Now, the biggest money earners, ironically, have the biggest time freedom. They choose their calendar. They choose what they want to invest their time in. Mm-hmm. What I'm sharing with you is that they don't have the time for BS activities, right? They don't have time to send certain emails. They don't have time to respond to certain people. And that's when they're like, hey, I think automation can do that for me. I think an assistant can do that for me. And that's when you start delegating certain things to different people.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think the way to think about it is with Pregreta or business automations or a virtual assistant, things of that sort, I think the goal, like you said, if you're stuck on like, hey, well, I already make enough. I make X amount. I'm already a six-figure earner. But if you're not really enjoying the process and you're burnt out, like you said, hey, I may not have time to have dinner with my family. I may not be able to visit family out of state or pretty much do any of your other hobbies. For me, that's an unhealthy way to run a business, right? You can only do so much as one person. So this actually reminds me, like yesterday, I always look at my decisions, and I think you do the same when it comes to business. Okay, if I'm going to go put money into this, whether it's a software, in this case, Pregreta, mm-hmm. if a business owner decides I'm going to commit to getting Pregreta, you don't want to get Pregreta and then focus so much on like, well, I just want to have a website and that's good. That's a very, to me, that's a way to get frustrated that a software is not making you money, right? Yep. If you just get software and you put a website, but you're not thinking, how can I get sales? How can I increase my revenue? How can I get the sales cycle automated? How can I maximize the customer journey experience? How can I do Google reviews through Pregreta? Like if you just sign up for Pregreta and you don't maximize it, I would be like, don't do that. Because that's the equivalent of getting a gym membership and never going. You know, that's like getting the high level gym membership, $300 a month, but you just never go. It's like, yeah. Okay, well, that's not going to do anything. But yesterday, I actually had this moment where there was a moment where I was like, I have so much to do. I got to do this. I got to do that. And then I said, which one of these tasks is going to either A, increase our content production, B, is going to increase revenue on the real estate side, or C, which one of this is just time, like it's taking time, but it's not going to do either. It's not going to help the content and it's not going to help revenue on the real estate. When I found those five things, there was five things on the it's not producing income. I just said, you know what? Our admin team's going to do it. Mm-hmm. Could I do it? Sure. Could I have scheduled it to do it Friday? I could have, but I just decided in that moment, the things that make the most sense is I can't replace myself to go show a house, right? When in the real estate side, I can't have someone else go show the house because I'm the one that has access. I have the relationship. Yeah, I have the relationship. The content, I like doing this part of the content. I like making sure that it fits our brand, right? Those are extra five tasks that were just taking mental space. And it was like calling people. It was scheduling something for Bensley. It was like, can you check on this email that I got? Those are not generating any type of results that for me, it was, let me stop what I'm doing, you know? So I share that because I do think that there's a mental shift when people decide to go into a moment of, I don't have to do everything myself. I can either A, get a virtual assistant, or B, I can get a software to get these kind of pain points part of the business. What are your thoughts on that? Have you ever experienced anybody have a little bit of a resistance to like letting go? Because they're like, nobody's going to do it how I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I actually, yesterday I was recording a course or recording a short demonstration video, like a video on one of our new products. And I was blasting that out to, I don't know, like 2,000 people. And in the program, in one of the videos, it's a program on how to work with a virtual assistant, how to hire a virtual assistant to be on your staff. And there's one specific module called there's a drop in quality. And you're never going to get someone to your 100%. Like exactly what you can do, you're never going to meet someone that can do 100%. But here's what happens. It's just a matter of math. Let's just say that I hire someone. Let's just say the output of my organization, if it's only me and I'm a solopreneur by myself working in the company, and the output of my organization is Andy's 100%. So now my company is 100%. But if you know about math and revenue, you can grow past 100%. You can do 2,000%. You can do 150%. You can do 200%, right? So there's essentially unlimited growth when it comes down to percentage. So if, let's just say from Andy's ability, 100% is my output for my organization when I'm by myself, when I'm solo. That means If I hire an assistant, here's what happens when I hire an assistant. Your new person may be 50% of you, but you're putting your attention on your assistant and they're 50% of you. So what happens is that your quality is going to drop. That virtual assistant is never going to get to be where you're at. Over time, as many years you build a relationship with your virtual assistant, that 50% that your virtual assistant does as output may grow to 80%, and that's where it's capped. They're 80% at what you can do. But here's where the kicker is. When your virtual assistant is at 80% and you refocus back out into the world, now your organization is 100 for you and then 80% for your virtual assistant. Now your output in your organization is 180%. But what happens if you hire another assistant? So you got one, your main assistant, and then you hire an additional person. Between them two, 80% for one, 80% for another, your output now with them two, removing you, now let's remove you from the equation. You have two assistants who work full-time, who's trained with you, who helps you run your business, so on and so forth. Both of them are now at 80% output individually. Your organization without you, excluding you, is now 160%. You have essentially replaced yourself and you have a stronger output because you have two assistants. One that started at 50, they grew over time. They're 80% of what you can do. And then you hired another one. You spent a couple years with them. You're like 5 years into this journey. Now you have 80% of another person, two people who are 80% of what you are capable of doing. They're doing those things for you. And you remove yourself and your organization is at an output of 160%. So this is how you start getting to the place of being able to remove yourself from a business. So if you can get to a place of having 10 assistants, for example, 80%, they all get to a capacity of 80% of what you are doing, then now your organization is 800% of what you're able to do. Now your organization is 800% of what you're able to do. They're multiplying. They can do way more than you can do. So the reason I share that with you is because what most people do is when they get a virtual assistant, their first virtual assistant, that person may be 30% of what you could do, maybe 50% of what you could do. And in the beginning of any virtual assistant, you gotta take your energy from the world of marketing, sales, client acquisition, whatever, and put your attention on your assistant. And so your attention's not on the world. Now, because your attention is on your assistant, your organization is at that initial 30% output. And you're like, man, I could do more I could do more by myself than with an assistant. You'll never get experience, the opportunity to leave your business and have the freedom because you never went through that period of growth with your first assistant. So most entrepreneurs do that where they get it for a couple of months, get an assistant for a couple of months, and they're like, man, you know what? I could do more by myself. And they never get to a point of the freedom that we're talking about because they never went through that period of time of growth.
Definitely. And that actually reminds me because I think even for our journey, it's like I mentioned earlier in the beginning, we've had such a fast-paced growth journey that even it's hard for me to even comprehend how we were operating before. So I'll give you a real life example of just what a difference business automations make, making sure customers are taken care of, appointments are getting done, contracts are getting done, pre-qualifications getting done. Your customers can be pretty much watching videos, making sure they get all the information, and you can have a whole calendar set up. So by the time the appointment is booked, they already know what you do, potentially a price range, how you function, you know, all of that. I even used it for real estate last year. And I remember like just thinking, wow, I can actually do all my real estate marketing. And that was me going, you know, doing the strategic marketing and meeting people in person. That probably took, you know, 15, 20 something hours a week. And I didn't have to do so much of the desk work because Pergreta took care of it. So what I started to realize was, hold on, why do people assume that everything needs to be done in 40 hours, right? I always say that's a man-made concept, work 40 hours. So I think even in our journey, it went from like, let's work so hard, hustle, you know, no days off, like David Goggins type of mindset. Mm-hmm. And then we started realizing, hold on, we're gaining weight. We're not really that present with family. It's not that we didn't want to. It was just like we always had one thing to do or another. And there came a point, I remember we had a conversation where we said, what if we challenge ourselves to only work 4 hours a day? Can you imagine? Like, we were probably thinking, this is not possible. How do you go from working 12 hours a day to 4 hours a day? But I can definitely say in the last couple of months, I've been able to do that. Like, and even I've seen you've been able to do that. You can work out more. You know, we can go to more travel throughout the month. I would say 50% of the month is out of the house. It's out in a different state. You're going to go international. You're with a team for a week. So I share that to just see the difference that something like this can make. It's not just, hey, I'm going to get a software so I can get more revenue. No, I would definitely challenge someone to say, if I sign up for software such as Pergreta, my end goal is to work only 15 to 20 hours because you might have kiddos at home, or you might want to go back to these other items that you might have not had time, fitness, community, faith, all these other things. So for me, it has been a game changer to think of my day as I only work 3 to 4 hours. Everything else is my time, my development. What have you done with that extra time now that we have all these automations, virtual assistant? What have you seen change that you can put your energy towards?
I still work, not because it's more like I have to, but it's more like I'm excited to create, and I still work, and now I'm just growing something even bigger than what I could have ever imagined. And I'm excited because I get to help more people and support more people and pour into people. I spoke at a mastermind last week. Was interesting. I was on 4 planes last week, and I was in 3 states last week. And I spoke at a mastermind, and a gentleman asked me, like, at a marketing event that I spoke at, and he runs a marketing agency, and his customer, although he's making, you know, $300,000 a year, $400,000 a year, his customers are like at his arm's reach. During the event, he's getting phone calls, so on and so forth. He can't get away. And he told me he wants to do is spend more time with his kids, right? I'm not at a stage right today. I have kids. But all he said was, I want to spend more time with my son. And I said, okay. And he said, what does your work week look like? And I said, honestly, most of the time, I'm recording videos and pouring into people in so many different ways. That's really how, I'm not really like in the work itself. I'm more just inspiring the people in my ecosystem. So I record courses. I don't do much coaching one-on-one per se. I record courses that inspires and educates and trains and teaches techniques and strategies to large groups of people. So I do a lot of course recording. Then I create content like this where I'm talking to people who are customers and non-customers. So if you're watching this, you're either not a customer or you're a customer of ours. And then, so I create content like this. I empower my family. I empower my team. I hop on many Zoom calls with different staff. I troubleshoot different mental blockages from staff and clients and so on and so forth. So I spend most of my time talking to people. Like, I'm in my office when other team members are here, other folks are here working. They're constantly hearing me talking because I'm not like building out things, right? I'm more talking to people. So what has become more available to me in my time is like, hey, I can do what I actually love doing, which is inspiring, empowering people and feeding into people. Because what that does for me is it feeds my soul. When I can see someone grow and rise, it completely feeds my soul, and I'm excited to continue to do more of that.
Amazing. Yeah, that's powerful. Being able to shift to service and provide value, I think is definitely rewarding. Well, that's it for today's topic. Is there anything else you want to share with your followers, members, and or anything else, you know, you want to add on for today?
Get it off your plate and automate. Get it off your plate. That's what Pergreta is for. Pergreta helps you get things off your plate, your sales process, your marketing, your email sequences, your text message sequences, all the communication. So today, right now, it's early in the morning still, and I don't know, we probably sent 30,000 emails today. And the way that that's being done is through all the different campaigns that we're running. So I'm not typing an email. I haven't done that in a long time. I'm not sitting there on the computer typing each email. It's all automatic through Progreta. So identify what are some things that you can do to get it off your plate and automate, and then just start small and then grow and scale from there.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I'm excited to dive deep next week into a little bit more resources. We'll appreciate you all for joining us. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.